Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson from Titus chapters 2 and 3, beginning at chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the text. So, a question. Is Christmas coming? Or has it already happened? And you know, the answer, of course, is yes. Why, yes. Christmas is coming, but do you realize we missed Christmas? Every one of us here, we missed Christmas. Not Christmas 2019, that's still to come, but we missed the real Christmas. Because the real Christmas happened very long ago, and almost nobody knew about it. Joseph, Mary, and some shepherds knew about it. And that was about it. Then it was decades and decades before Christmas would begin to be celebrated as something really important. And then it started spreading all over the world. So now there is the whole Christmas season that carries with it a whole different mood all over the place. The way we observe Christmas and the days of Advent leading up to Christmas, they do speak of waiting, don't they? And so here's a riddle. We wait for what has already happened. We anticipate what has already come. And you could say, and preachers and theologians have said this, we are the in-between people. We are the now-not-yet people. How's that work? Well, the first part, we look back and we hear the words of the angel. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Not someday in the future. Someday there will be salvation. Someday the Lamb of God. Someday God will answer the prayers and the needs of his people. It's happened. Accomplished fact. There's no more waiting, which is why we wait. Oh, there's that riddle again. And Paul writes to Titus. He says, the grace of God has appeared. Think about that. There in the manger where the shepherds could reach out and touch the hands of this little baby, and wise men could kneel. And then Simeon could say, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. And John the Apostle could, decades later, he could write, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And then in his first epistle, he could say, what we have seen, what our hands have handled, what we have seen concerning the word of life, that we tell you about. So the grace of God has appeared. The grace of God then has hands and feet. The grace of God has eyes and ears. The grace of God walked around Palestine. The grace of God got dirty feet. The grace of God knelt down to wash the feet of his disciples. The grace of God was nailed to the cross. The grace of God was laid in the tomb. The grace of God on the third day rose from the dead. He is in his person. This Jesus is the grace of God. and he has appeared. So, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. Bringing salvation. Well, we needed salvation, didn't we? We needed saving. Let me think about it. What were we before Christ? Paul gives the description in this text. Here's us before, well, before I read it. This is not pleasant. It's not nice to read. It's not nice to hear. But it is the Word of God, and it describes us without Jesus and before Jesus. Are you ready? Foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's me. You know the answer? Yeah, that's me. Without Jesus, it's not a nice picture, is it? Before Jesus, before Christmas, it's not a good thing. But when Christmas happened, see, every year leading up to Christmas, there is a different mood. There is charity, guys ringing the bell and collecting donations, kindness, hope. Leading up to Christmas, seems we turn to thoughts of spiritual and eternal things. We think of, well, as we go through the malls and we catch a glimpse of a Christmas song. No, not the other Christmas songs. One of ours. Not Frosty the Snowman or things like that. But walk through the mall and you hear a little bit of Silent Night. And your thoughts turn to shepherds and angels and peace on earth and goodwill to men. What's the cause of that? It doesn't come from talk about Santa Claus or the elf on the shelf, who parents use those images to tell the kids, you better be good. Because he knows if you've been bad or good, or you better be good because this elf on the shelf is reporting to Santa. No, that's not what leads to thoughts of spiritual things. Charity and kindness. The charity, the kindness, the mood around Christmas comes from God coming into the world. Jesus being born for us and bringing peace that we do not deserve, forgiveness bound up in his flesh, salvation that is only by the grace of God. He came to bring mercy. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so none of us gets to boast. And we live in the days of Christmas has happened. The world is changed. Okay. Paul writes, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. For all people? And again, here's a question. Is it more amazing to hear that this gospel is for every tribe and people and nation and language, or to hear that this grace of God is for you? For me? Now, I'm not able to see inside the hearts of every nation and people and tribe and language. I can't see inside the heart, but I can see inside my own heart. And so it is quite the amazing thing that this is for me. And that is something that can stop you and bring you into thoughts of God and His mercy. And so Christmas has come. A thought for you. What would it be like to be right in the middle of it? The events take place. They've been waiting for a long while, but now the kingdom of God is coming, and it's happening quick, and things are rolling along faster than you anticipated. The plan of salvation is opening up right in front of their eyes. Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, shepherds, angels, wise men, so many others caught up in the sweep and the flow of God writing history and rewriting our place in the universe. Honored by God to be brothers and sisters of Jesus, who said, "No longer do I call you servants, I've called you friends." Now God has come down, stepped down from eternity and into this world to share human nature, human stuff, human emotions and the experience of days and years and human sweat and hunger and fear and tears and joys and fatigue. And they said of him, and they said it absolutely correctly, "Well, this man receives sinners and eats with them." That's the whole point. That's what God has done. And yet we wait. That's the whole other part. We wait. The whole creation waits, anticipating the revealing of the children of God. We ourselves wait. We wait for what we have been promised, the redeeming of our bodies, restoring and transforming us. When all of the things that have gone wrong and all of the things that will continue to go wrong in the world around us and also within us, when all of those things will be made right. Well, we heard about this last week in the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah 11. The wolf and the lamb, the calf and the lion, the cow and the bear, and they will neither hurt nor harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. We wait for what has already been revealed. We are the now not yet people, living within the kingdom of God, waiting for the kingdom of God. We are the in-between people. Jesus has come. Jesus is coming. Redeemed and waiting for our redemption. Saved and waiting for our salvation. How do we sort it out? Paul puts it this way: when Christmas happens, when Jesus is born, when he brings grace and salvation and the kingdom of God and mercy, he teaches us, quote, to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there is a fulfillment coming. And if you think this is the best it can be, if you think things are really good now, being a Christian and having your sins forgiven and your prayers answered, and Jesus himself comes to feed you today, his body, his blood given for you and given to you for the forgiveness of sins. If you think that's great, just wait. As Jesus said to Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Christmas teaches that what has already come, oh, we are waiting for with bated breath. We are eagerly waiting for it, because then we will see and our hands reach out and touch, and our whole being will be a part of that salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.